Son, and Holy Spirit. And blessed be God's kingdom, now and forever. Amen. Almighty God, to you all hearts are open, all desires known, and from you no secrets are hid. Cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name through Christ our Lord. Amen. Amen. Almighty and everlasting God, you are always more ready to hear than we to pray, and to give more than we either desire or deserve. Pour upon us the abundance of your mercy, forgiving us those things of which our conscience is afraid, and giving us those good things for which we are not worthy to ask, except through the merits and mediation of Jesus Christ, our Savior, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen.
A reading from the book of Genesis. Then the Lord said, "It is not good that the man should be alone. I will make him a helper as his partner." So out of the ground, the Lord God formed every animal of the field and every bird of the air and brought them to the man to see what he would call them. And whatever the man called every living creature, that was its name. The man gave names to all cattle and to the birds of the air and to every animal of the field. But for the man, there was not found a helper as his partner. So the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon the man, and he slept. Then he took one of his ribs and closed up its place with flesh. And the rib that the Lord God had taken from the man, he made into a woman and brought her to the man. Then the man said, "This at last is bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. This one shall be called woman, for out of man this one was taken. Therefore a man leaves his father and his mother and clings to his wife, and they become one flesh." The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Thank you. The moon and the stars you have set in their courses. The Son of Man that you should seek him out. You adorn him with glory and honor.
A reading from the letter to the Hebrews. Long ago, God spoke to our ancestors in many and various ways by the prophets. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things, through whom he also created the worlds. He is the reflection of God's glory and the exact imprint of God's very being. And he sustains all things by his powerful word. When he had made purification for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high, having become as much superior to angels as the name he has inherited is more excellent than theirs. Now God did not subject the coming world about which we are speaking to angels, but someone has testified somewhere, "What are human beings that you are mindful of them, or mortals that you care for them? You have made them for a little while lower than the angels. You have crowned them with glory and honor, subjecting all things under their feet. Now in subjecting all things to them, God left nothing out of their control. As it is, we do not yet see everything in subjection to them. But we do see Jesus, who for a little while he was made lower than the angels, now crowned with glory and honor because of the suffering of death, so that by the grace of God he might taste death for everyone. It was fitting that God, for whom and through whom all things exist, in bringing many children to glory, should make the pioneer of their salvation perfect through sufferings. For the one who sanctifies and those who are sanctified all have one Father. For this reason, Jesus is not ashamed to call them brothers and sisters, saying, I will proclaim your name to my brothers and sisters. In the midst of that congregation, I will praise you. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Thank you.
Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Mark.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
Some Pharisees came, and to test him they asked, "Is it lawful for a man to divorce his wife?" He answered them, "What did Moses command you?" They said, "Moses allowed a man to write a certificate of dismissal and to divorce her." But Jesus said to them, "Because of your hardness of heart, he wrote this commandment for you. But from the beginning of creation, God made them male and female. For this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. So they are no longer two, but one flesh. Therefore, what God has joined together, let no one separate." Then in the house, the disciples asked him again about this matter. He said to them, "Whoever divorces his wife and marries another commits adultery against her. And if she divorces her husband and marries another, she commits adultery." People were bringing little children to him in order that he might touch them. And the disciples spoke sternly to them. But when Jesus saw this, he was indignant and said to them, "Let the little children come to me. Do not stop them, for it is to such as these that the kingdom of God belongs. Truly I tell you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God as a little child will never enter it." And he took them up in his arms, laid his hands on them, and blessed them. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be always acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Today, I'm afraid I must begin with a confession. I'm an adulterer. According to the words strictly of Jesus in today's gospel, I'm an adulterer. I'm divorced, I'm remarried, and therefore I'm an adulterer. I'm a sinner. I need all the help I can get. I need all the forgiveness I can get. Now, I won't ask you how many of you might be in the same boat, but I bet there's a bunch of you. And when we come up against people who say and think, "The Bible says it, I believe it, that settles it," they do have the right to say to us that we have broken a biblical, even a Christian, standard. Notice I didn't say commandment, because there's no commandment from Jesus in this, just a standard, and it is a high standard. Once I got into a discussion with a fellow clergy person from another denomination that shall remain nameless. And we were talking about the subject of ordination of women, and this was back in the early 90s. So it was still fairly controversial in many Protestant denominations. But we had embraced it, and so I was holding forth against this fellow clergy person from another denomination that is a much more of a "the Bible says it, I believe it, that settles it" kind of approach. And he said, "Well, the Bible says that a man shall lord it over his wife, and that she shall be subject to him."
And I said, now, wait a minute. Seems to me that was a punishment decree by God in Genesis, where God said, because of your sinfulness, I'll set a standard for you for the time being that will help us keep this thing in order and help humanity to grow in faith and stature. But if you go before that, before the punishment, I think it says, God created male and female. Didn't say female and male, didn't say male over female, said male and female created he them in his image. They're to be equals. And if you carry that one step further to what we read today in Genesis, God made the male and realized that he wasn't complete. He wasn't whole. He had dominion over animals, but they were not his equal. So he took a part of him and made a woman who was therefore totally equal to him, a part of him, one flesh with him. And they became one in unity and equality. It was only after the fall that God had to set some standards that were not very realistic. Because if they were equals, why should the man rule over the woman? Unfortunately, it took about a millennium or more till that rule was clarified. It was clarified in the teachings of Jesus and of Paul, who said, in Christ there is no East or West, no Greek nor Jew, no slave nor free, no male nor female. We are all one in Christ Jesus our Lord. We are all equals. Now, I was real tempted to go down a political path with this, but I'll avoid that. But I will say this. We as Episcopalians may seem to bend the rule a little bit here and allow for something that Jesus himself said is not the ideal. That's why I started with my confession. But here's the point. It comes in the form of a story. Way back in the back days before I was even ordained, while I was still in college, one of the clergy at one of the sessions of diocesan summer camp that I attended got into trouble. This was before women clergy, so it was a male. Got into trouble for some sexual misconduct. Now, by the standard, that should have been the end of his career, his vocation, his calling. But he confessed. He owned up to what he had done. And the bishop asked him to leave the diocese, but did not take away his ordination. He went to another diocese, his home diocese, his original diocese. And he was under suspension for a while and couldn't function as clergy. But as he worked through that, worked through his penance, as it were, he was able to, again, assist in a church and then be readmitted to full clerical status. But the long and the short of it is that this man went on to become rector of a church in that diocese, then left that diocese to be rector of another church and be in charge of a major portion of ministry, and eventually became suffragan bishop of the diocese in which he finally died. Had we upheld the standard, he'd have been out. He'd had no chance. But because of a higher standard given by the one who gave us the standard, Jesus, there was new life. There was powerful ministry done in this man's name. Now, that doesn't let us off from the standard. The standard is still there, and it's reflected in our church's canons regarding marriage. We require premarital instruction, mainly to know for sure who it is you're getting involved with and if it's really a match. And we require the signing of a declaration that this marriage, we intend to be lifelong. And face it, you can't expect a lifelong marriage without intending it to be so, and both people really wanting it to be so, to the point where they will work towards it will be so. And then we have another canon that says, when marital union is imperiled by dissension, it's up to the parties in the marriage to lay the matter before a priest of the church, that they may labor that it be reconciled. So the church puts its money where its mouth is and says, you're having trouble living up to the standard. Let us help you try to maintain the standard. And yet it goes even further. For when the marriage still fails, and it comes time to try to be remarried in the church, rather than holding this standard up as a flaming sword to not let you go back to paradise, we have expectations that proper care and proper concern is given to the former spouse and any children thereof. And there should not be a remarriage if there is still rancor and dissension and anger and hurt to the point that the good things are not done for the former relationship, both the former spouse and whatever children came of it. So you see, we have a standard. But superseding that standard is the one that Jesus gives us. You recall an upper room on the day of resurrection? Well, Jesus, when there was new creation, when there was new life, when there was a new way of seeing things, appeared in that upper room. And he said, peace be with you. And he breathed on them. And then he said, receive the Holy Spirit. Forgive each other's sins. For the sins that you hang on to, they're going to hang on to you. The sins that you can forgive and let go of, there is new life. New life which is available to everybody. Even my friend who died a bishop of the church, but should have been bounced out because he didn't live up to the standard that was initially set. So that we therefore have both a very positive standard that is almost impossible to fulfill, and an even greater standard which says there's mercy and love and hope and new life when the most important standard of Christ entirely is the Holy Spirit that empowers us to forgive, to become new, and to move forward as a new Adam and Eve, a new two that will be one flesh. And I gotta say, my second marriage is a lot better for me than my first one was. I'm not totally blaming it on her. I'm not saying that at all. We both had a lot of things wrong with us in that relationship, and that's why it failed. But this new one, I do believe, is a marriage of one flesh. And we are able to forgive each other, accept each other as who we are, and move forward in our lives. If you want a song that goes with it, it's going to be sung by the choir in just a few minutes. It's one of my favorites of all time. There's a wideness in God's mercy, like the wideness of the sea. There is kindness in his justice, which is more than liberty. There's welcome for the sinner and more graces for the good. There is mercy with the Savior. There is healing in his blood. There is no place where earth's sorrows are more felt than up in heaven. There is no place where earth's failings have such kindly judgment given. There is plentiful redemption in the blood that has been shed. There is joy for all the members in the sorrows of the head. For the love of God is broader than the measure of the mind. And the heart of the eternal is most wonderfully kind. If our love were but more faithful, we should take him at his word, and our lives would be thanksgiving for the goodness of the Lord. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen.
Please stand. Let us profess our faith by saying the Nicene Creed, found on page 10. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth,
of all that is seen and unseen.
We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God,
eternally begotten of the Father,
God from God,
light from light,
true God from true God,
begotten, not made,
of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven. By the power of the Holy Spirit, he became incarnate from the Virgin Mary and was made man. For our sake, he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day he rose again, in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son. With the Father and the Son, he is worshipped and glorified. He has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy Catholic and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins.
We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
Prayers of the people are found on page 11 in your bulletin. In peace, we pray to you, Lord God. For all people in their daily life and work. For our friends, friends of them, and for those who are alone. For this community, the nation, and the world. For all who work for justice, freedom, and peace. For the just and proper use of your creation. For the victims of hunger, fear, injustice, and oppression. For all who are in danger, sorrow, or any kind of trouble. For those who minister to the sick, the friendless, and the needy. For the peace and unity of the Church of God. For all who proclaim the gospel and all who seek the truth. For Justin, the Archbishop of Canterbury, Michael, our presiding bishop, Brian, our bishop, Pat and Perry, our priests. For all of us as ministers who share in God's work through this parish and in our lives, and for all bishops and other ministers. For all who serve God in his church. For the special needs and concerns of this congregation, especially those on our prayer list. For Margaret, Steve, Nicole, Courtney and J.R., Blair, John and Joan, Paul, Marie, Chuck, Jimmy, Martha, Renee, Jaden, Ryan and Haley, Teddy, Richard, Regina, Irene, June, Michael, Laura, Baylor, Shay, Ed and Pat, Doug, Alberta, Tom, Jane, Tony, Zach, Chuck and Betsy, Michael, Clara, Georgina, Joycey, Sarah, Bill, Martha, Shane, Judy, Jean, Richard, Jackie, Alan, Pat, Nick, Morgan Ray, Raphael, David, George, Randy, Scott, Ms. Robinson, Judy, Jeff, Melvin and Barbara, Patricia, Norman. Are there any others? Joanna? Hear us, Lord, for your mercy is great. Send your Spirit upon this congregation and its leaders to call a new rector and prepare our hearts to receive this person. Lord, hear our prayer. Turn us unto your ways, O God, and grant us courage to encounter new paths. Lord, hear our prayer. Turn us unto. We thank you, Lord, for all the blessings of this life. Turn us unto your ways and make us lovers of all, opening our arms to embrace our neighbor's need.
Lord, hear our prayer.
Are there any thanksgivings? We pray for the members of our armed forces. We give thanks for those celebrating birthdays this week, especially Joycey Groh and Eli Sargent. We will exalt you, O God, our King,
and praise your name forever and ever.
We pray for all who have died, that they may have a place in your eternal kingdom.
The victims of the earthquake and tsunami in Indonesia.
Lord, let your loving kindness be upon them,
who put their trust in you.
We pray to you also for the forgiveness of our sins. Have mercy upon us, most merciful Father. In your compassion, forgive us our sins, known and unknown, things done and left undone. And so uphold us by your Spirit, that we may live and serve you in newness of life, to the honor and glory of your name, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Almighty God, have mercy on you. Forgive you all your sins through our Lord Jesus Christ. Strengthen you in all goodness and by the power of the Holy Spirit, keep you in eternal life. Amen. Amen. The peace of the Lord be always with you. Walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God.
Oh,
The Lord be with you.
Also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give thanks and praise.
It is right and good and a joyful thing always and everywhere to give thanks to you, Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. For by water and the Holy Spirit, you have made us a new people in Jesus Christ our Lord, to show forth your glory in all the world. Therefore we praise you, joining our voices with angels and archangels, and with all the company of heaven, who forever sing this hymn to proclaim the glory of your name. And gracious Father, in your infinite love, you made us for yourself. And when we had fallen into sin and become subject to evil and death, you in your mercy sent Jesus Christ, your only and eternal Son, to share our human nature, to live and die as one of us, to reconcile us to you, the God and Father of all. He stretched out his arms upon the cross and offered himself in obedience to your will, a perfect sacrifice for the whole world. On the night he was handed over to suffering and death, our Lord Jesus Christ took bread, and when he had given thanks to you, he broke it and gave it to his disciples and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." After supper, he took the cup of wine, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them and said, "Drink this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Whenever you drink it, do this for the remembrance of me." Therefore, we proclaim the mystery of faith. Christ has died. Christ is risen.
Christ will come again.
We celebrate the memorial of our redemption, O Father, in this sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving. Recalling his death, resurrection, and ascension, we offer you these gifts. Sanctify them by your Holy Spirit to be for your people the body and blood of your Son, the holy food and drink of new and unending life in him. Sanctify us also, that we may faithfully receive this holy sacrament and serve you in unity, constancy, and peace, and at the last day bring us with all your saints into the joy of your eternal kingdom. All this we ask through your Son, Jesus Christ. By him, and with him, and in him. In the unity of the Holy Spirit, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever. Amen. And now, as our Savior Christ has taught us, we are bold to say, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory.
Alleluia, alleluia, alleluia. Christ, our Passover, is sacrificed for us. Therefore, let us keep the feast. Alleluia, alleluia.
The gifts of God for the people of God. Take them in remembrance that Christ died, rose, and lives for you, and feed on him in your hearts by faith with thanksgiving. Let us pray. Eternal God, Heavenly Father,
you have graciously accepted us as living members of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ, and you have fed us with spiritual food in the sacrament of his body and blood. Send us now into the world in peace, and grant us strength and courage to love and serve you with gladness and singleness of heart through Christ our Lord.
Now unto God's gracious mercy and protection, we commit ourselves. May God bless us and keep us. May God's face shine upon us and be gracious unto us. And may the light of God's countenance lift us up and give us power and peace to know and to do God's will this day and evermore. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us go forth in the name of Christ.
Thanks be to God.